Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord today. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered in. We do pray that the Lord will bless us and be with us as we're found in his house today. This is always a special Sunday in the house of the Lord whenever we look forward to the children of our Sabbath school coming to take part. And we are looking forward to that this morning as they will come in just a little while. And to those that are visiting amongst us as well, it's lovely to see each one that's visiting, and we do pray that the Lord will bless you as you're with us here this morning. Let me just remind you of the announcements, both for today and for the incoming week. Tonight, once again, we meet here at 7 p.m. in the house of the Lord. There is a season of prayer from 6:30, and we are coming tonight to deal with the subject of spiritual power. And we do invite and encourage you to make that effort, even to come back again this evening. Don't just be here this morning. I know it's special with the children, but tonight, well, it's me. And just even come and hear the word of the Lord and come to worship the Lord in his house again this evening. There is no children's meetings tomorrow night. That's them finished for the season. They'll be back again, God willing, on the 10th of January. But on Wednesday evening, we have our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting here in the church at 8 p.m. And we do invite and encourage each one even to make that effort as well, to come on the Wednesday night and to study God's precious word with us, even at this time of year. I know it's a busy time, but do be making that effort to set aside that time, young and old alike, to come and to be with us here in the house of the Lord. Then the service is next Sunday. There is no Sabbath school now for the next two Sundays. We had it this morning, and then it'll be off next Sunday with it being Boxing Day, and then the Sunday after it'll be off as well. But there is a normal services, even though it's Boxing Day. Their normal services will be on at 11:30 and at 7 p.m. And there will be the seasons of prayer beforehand. And let me encourage you and invite you to come back again next week and be with us here in the house of the Lord, and even come to worship the Lord and gather together to give thanks unto the Lord for all that he has done for us. Can we mention as well that the offering that was lifted the other evening at our deputation meeting towards work in Liberia, and our sister Joanne Greer came to a fantastic total of £662. And we do want to thank you sincerely in the Saviour's name for your very kind giving towards the work of our sister. Just an early announcement as well. Wednesday the 29th of December, well, we will be having the calendar drop in the two villages for the calendars for 2022. I always like to give you a bit of exercise after all of the eating of Christmas. And so if you can be with us on that evening, there will be the time of prayer, of course, at 8 p.m. But if you can come at 7 p.m. on Wednesday the 29th of December and help to give out those calendars, that would be much appreciated. This afternoon, on behalf of our Upnacloy congregation, there is our afternoon monthly meeting over in Auker in the little meeting house there at 3:30. The Reverend Anderson will be taking that service, and you are invited and welcome to go along and to be with and to support our church there as they have that service over in Auker. Now, I haven't done this announcement in a very long time, but we just do remind you of our restrictions that are in place in relation to COVID. And the reason I haven't done it in so long is because of how cooperative you have been with us. And we really do thank you and appreciate all that you do in regards to that. But do be mindful of it. There certainly has been an increase, as you're well aware, in the news over the last while. And so do be mindful even as you come and go from the house of the Lord. Remember the mandatory restrictions in terms of the mask coming in and out. And then, of course, you're welcome to wear them for the whole service or to take them off once you're seated. But do be mindful of the hand sanitizer and the distancing as you come and go from the house of the Lord. Just one final announcement. Happy Christmas. And may the Lord bless and be with each one of you even in the week to come. And may you know the blessing of the Lord. And even at this busy time, may each one of us remember the coming of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and give thanks for it and rejoice in all that the Lord has done for us and all that the Lord continues to do for us. May the Lord's blessing be upon each one. I'm going to commence now with the singing of the hymn 76. The hymn 76, the page is 206. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. The hymn 76 will stand after the introduction, please.
Thank you.
Unite together in a word of prayer, please, as we seek the Lord for his blessing once again today. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We come into thy most holy presence in and through that precious and that wonderful name of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, we praise thee, O God, this day, for this, the return of thy day. This one day in seven that thou hast set aside to come together and to worship and to praise thee. We do acknowledge, O God, that we have so much to give thee thanks and to praise thee for. We thank thee above all else for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. We thank thee there was that time when Jesus Christ descended out of heaven and came and took even our humanity into that union with his deity. We thank and praise thee that he was that babe that was laid in a manger. And he grew up, O God, to become that great prophet, that great priest, and that great king. We thank and praise thee for his life upon this earth. We thank and praise thee, O God, that his birth was perfect. His life was perfect. And then we do rejoice that he went to the cross. And his death was perfect too. We thank thee for the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood which cleanseth us from all sins. We thank and praise thee this day that that blood is sufficient to wash away every guilty and vile stain upon us. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless us even as we're found in thy house today. We thank thee for each one that is here. We thank and praise thee for thy hand of mercy upon us, for keeping us until this very point. We pray that thou wilt continue to be with us and to bless us throughout this day. We thank thee for the term that we've had even, and for the Sunday school that's been able to take place, and for the children's meeting week by week. We thank and praise thee for the children that have faithfully attended, and even for their parents that have sent them week by week even to thy house. And we thank thee for thy servants who have ministered to them and taught them from thy precious word. We pray that thou wilt bless. We pray, O God, that that word that has been sown even to their hearts, that thou wilt yet bring forth much fruit from it. Lord, we think even today as the children will come to take part, we pray for thy blessing to be upon them. We pray, O God, that thou wilt help them, even as they stand and as they do their parts, as they sing thy praises and as they come and bring us thy word. Lord, we do ask thee that thou wilt use it even to speak to hearts this day. Thou knowest the need of every heart. Thou knowest those, O God, who are amongst us that are still out of Christ and still strangers to grace and to God. O Father, that thou wilt come and even show them their great need of salvation. Bless us then as we come around thy word as well. Lord, as we bring that children's address and the simplicity of the gospel within it, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt not only settle hearts to receive thy word, but then, O God, that thou wilt stir hearts by thy Spirit, that thou wilt open up the eyes. And I, O God, like Lydia of old, that thou wilt open up hearts. Lord, that thou wilt draw men and women, boys and girls, unto thyself. Lord, bless us in thy house today. Bless each one that is here. Bless those that are online as well. We are mindful of those that can't be with us. Lord, that faithfully tune in week by week. We pray, Lord, for thy blessing to be upon them, that thou wilt minister to their individual and their particular needs at this time. Lord, that thou wilt be near indeed to each one. Remember every family. Remember, O God, this work as a whole. Lord, for thy blessing we yearn, for the windows of heaven to be open, and for that blessing of God to be poured out upon this work. Come, we pray thee, and glorify thy Son in our midst. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, we are delighted today to have the children of our Sabbath school with us. I do want to thank them and the teachers as well for all of the effort that they've been putting in the last number of weeks in getting ready for this morning. And we're going to ask them now just to come and to do their part for us. Thank you.
first reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as his spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger.
Thank you. are herald angels in the night, armings for our Redeemer.
I means Israel, S is for the star that shone so bright, T is for the wise man, they who troubled are.
M is for the manger where he lay, A is for all he stands for, S means shepherds came,
and that's why it's Christmas Day.
I do want to thank the children and the teachers as well for all of the effort, and certainly it's been a blessing to have the children taking part this morning. Thoroughly enjoyed their singing and also the reading of scripture and the different parts that they play today. Let me just take this opportunity to say a word of thanks to all of the parents for sending your children and week by week to the Sabbath school. We really do appreciate and we really do love having them gathering with us here in the church. And we want to thank as well the teachers of our Sabbath school, all of the effort they put in. Yes, they're here on a Sunday morning, but we know, of course, there's effort during the week in the preparation of the lessons, even for the children. And we really do want to say a word of thanks to each and every one for the work that is conducted and for the children that are here each and every Sunday. It's always a blessing to have them taking part. It's just unfortunate that they're not here every week taking part. But then I wouldn't want to put that stress on the children and on the teachers as well. But we do appreciate it and we do pray that the Lord will bless it to our hearts this morning. We're going to sing one more hymn together at this stage. It is the hymn number in Royal David City. As stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. The hymn number 80. And again we'll stand as we sing, please. I'm glad that their hymn had six verses, because by the end of three verses, just about the projector was coming on again. So it's a good job we weren't singing Away in a Manger. This would have been sitting waiting for a wee moment. But we just want to speak to the children this morning. Of course, there is the gospel for us all, even in the message this morning. But before we do so, we're just going to have a word of prayer and still ourselves in God's presence and ask even the Lord for his help and for the speaking voice of God even to us. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee for thy help already given to us in this meeting today. We thank thee for the ability and the opportunity to sing praises unto thee. We thank thee for the boys and girls that have taken part this morning. We thank thee, O God, for that preparation that has gone in over the weeks. We do pray that thou wilt bless, that thou wilt undertake for each one of those boys and girls. And if they're not saved, O Lord, at even early in life, that thou wilt draw them unto thyself. Lord, we pray even now for help to be given to us as we seek to bring thy word, as we seek to speak to each and to every one. O God, that thou wilt pour out thy spirit upon us, that thou wilt apply thy word to each and to every one as it needs to be applied, that thou wilt encourage thy people, that thou wilt build them up in their most precious faith. Lord, for those that are not saved, O God, have mercy upon them and draw them unto thyself in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're coming today to think upon one of the messages in relation to Christmas. Of course, whenever Christmas is coming, there's so much change in and around the houses. Whenever you see, and it's coming up even into November, suddenly you're driving along the road at night, and certain houses get their lights up very, very quickly. Certain houses have changes very, very quickly. And I can see people already smiling because they know that their houses change very, very early in the season. Some people leave it until the very start of December. And some people maybe move it that bit quicker. I remember the latest my mum and dad ever were putting up the tree was the 24th of December. It was a really, really busy year. And of course, mum was always the one to put it up. So until mum was free and things calmed down, then nothing changed in the house. But the 24th of December, fair play to her, even though it was bang on the edge of Christmas, and that's decided to quit on me already. They needed to open that again. Well, my mum even changed it right there at the very edge of Christmas, even though there's so much to be doing in the kitchen and getting the turkey ready and everything else. But of course, whenever the time of Christmas is coming, there's one of the things that always changes in and around the home, and so many homes have them in their houses. So many towns and villages put them up as well. And some people even have them outside of their house and outside even in their gardens. And some people will change what trees they have. And you can tell I'm really trying to fill the time because the internet and the computer has basically completely quit on me. And without the pictures, you're just going to have to listen to me. But one of the things that always changes in and around houses is Christmas trees. And individuals will have many different types of Christmas trees. Some people will have the natural tree, well, they'll go and buy a real tree. And some people will then bring that real tree into the house. And of course, then you have the lovely smell of the pines and all of those extra things attached to it. And some people just like to have the artificial tree where they can just lift it straight in and out of the roof space. That's me, by the way. I don't take the tree down. It goes up just and I carry it straight through the roof space and then I bring it straight back down through the roof space and all that has to be done is the lights and everything else put upon it. But one of the things in terms of tree, most houses have trees. Some houses have more than one tree. Some people even just have branches up. I'm thinking of my mother-in-law. For a number of years, what my mother-in-law did, she didn't want the tree up in her house, and I know I'm getting the glare here. But my mother-in-law, all she did was had this branch in the house. And she sprayed it. And then she hung tinsel around it. And that was her tree. I looked out the window one day, very recently. My youngest son's pulling this massive branch that had come down in a storm. And he's pulling it past the window around the side of the house. And I went out to him. I says, Reuben, what are you doing? He says, I was thinking this could do Nanny for the next tree. And he left it around the side of the house so that whenever she was next down visiting, he could show her this wonderful branch and put it up. And of course, whenever we think of trees and Christmas trees, as I says, this is something that so often is put up in people's houses. And they'll put the trees up and they'll put the decorations around them. And yet, whenever you think of the Christmas tree, there is a wonderful story and there's a wonderful gospel message even within the Christmas tree. Wonder how many of you know actually the history. How did it come about that we have Christmas trees in our homes? How did it come about that we have that time of the year whenever we bring the trees into the house or we bring them down out of the roof space and we decorate them? Amen. I'm going to start and turn this now whenever it's working. Well, according to history, it was a man by the name of Martin Luther. Now, Martin Luther, if you know your church history, Martin Luther was a great reformer, one of the great reformers. Well, we're really flying now. Martin Luther was the great reformer in Germany. And one particular evening, yes, there he is. One particular evening, he was heading home. And it was a dark evening, and then as he was going along home, and all of the stars in the sky, and the moon in the sky, and he looked and he saw this tree. And he saw how beautiful it was and how it was glistening and how the light was coming down and how beautiful then it made the pines and made the tree look. And what he then did was he went straight home, went to his shed, got the axe out and then went back to the tree, cut the tree down and brought it into his house. Because he wanted his family, he wanted his wife Catherine and his children to be able to observe the beauty of the tree as well. And in his day, they put candles in the tree. Now, I have no idea how you put candles in a tree. I wouldn't even like to think of how dangerous it would be. Because if you were putting a real candle, though that their picture is artificial candles, I don't know how they got them to balance, but imagine putting live fire, real fire, onto a tree with the candles. I'd be standing there with the fire extinguisher the whole time, just watching and hoping that nothing goes wrong. He put those lights on the tree. And then he brought to them even the gospel message through it. And you think of that tree. And of course, in the time of the scriptures, you think of what trees are mentioned in the scriptures. Because the first tree that's mentioned in the scriptures is that which is mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. And in verse 17 it says, "But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." That's the first tree that's mentioned in the scriptures. That's the first specific tree that attention is drawn to. And it was there within the Garden of Eden. And God had provided everything for Adam and for Eve. They had all of the food that they could ever desire or need for. They had all of the safety, the protection. The animals had everything that they needed. Everything was bliss. Everything was harmony. And God gave them this one direction. Do not eat of that tree. But of course, Adam and Eve sinned. The serpent came, it tells us, Genesis chapter 3. The serpent, which was more subtle than any beast of the field, came and tempted Eve. And Adam as well, he ate of that forbidden fruit. And sin entered into the world. And death by sin. You know then, just actually, while I'm thinking on it, wee baubles you hang in your tree. Know where the baubles came from? They used to put apples and oranges in their trees way back in the day. Now, it's bad enough putting candles, but imagine just sticking fruit around a tree. I love having the wee bits of chocolate hanging in the tree, and I can't wait till the tree's coming down, and then we eat the chocolate as the tree's coming down. They used to put the apples and oranges in their trees. Because their attention was being drawn towards that tree at the beginning of the scriptures. But because of the fall, because of the sin of mankind, then we have to immediately draw our attention to another tree within the scriptures. At times we call it the cross. But it's interesting, whenever Peter writes, he always speaks of the tree in terms of the cross. He speaks of it of being a tree. 1 Peter 2, the verse 24, "Who his own self," that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." You see, that first tree brought forth sin. But the second tree brought forth salvation. And we, and all of us, we were in Adam. We all sinned in Adam. We all fell in Adam. And so all of us in that regard, spiritually, have been to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and all of us have been and have tasted and have ate of that tree, but I wonder how many of us have been to the tree of salvation. How many of us here this morning have been to the cross? How many of us have experienced the salvation which Christ purchased by bearing our sins, in his own body upon that tree? You know, as I said, in that first time, in that earlier days, Martin Luther and ones even after him, they always hung the candles in the tree. Now, you think of how bare a tree is. Imagine you just brought in the tree and you just set it up and you never put any lights on it, you never put any decorations on it. It would be very bland, but it'd also be very dark. Imagine you had no light on those trees. And of course, in the old days, they didn't have any light, they had no electricity. And so there was a tree in the corner and the whole room is dark. But then when you put the lights on it, my, it brightens up the whole room, doesn't it? And I think of the world. And I think of the darkness of the world. I think of the sin that is found within this world. I think of the sin of jealousy. I think of the sin of envy. I think of the great sin of pride. How much we think of ourselves and how much we love ourselves and how much we boast of ourselves and that pride that is in self. You think of all of that animosity, you think of all of that hatred, you think of all of the evil and the wickedness that is in the world today, how dark the world is. And then you think of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you think of that great light himself. He said in John 8 and the verse 12, I am the light of the world. In other words, this world is dark. This world is full of sin. This world is full of wickedness. But whenever we're in Christ, whenever we look to Jesus Christ, then we see the light. He says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Wonder this morning, do you have that light within you? Are you saved this morning? Have you experienced that great salvation that only Jesus Christ can give? You know, another thing about the tree, it's evergreen. And you think of the autumn time and all of the beautiful leaves as they change color. You have the green then turns to the yellow and turns to that orange and the brown and then they all fall off. And then we spend all of our time lifting them and getting them into piles and getting them away. But of course, the Christmas tree, it's usually either a fir or a pine tree. It's an evergreen tree. It doesn't change color. It doesn't even lose its leaves. Nothing falls off. Yes, we pines here and there, but it keeps its substance. It doesn't go back just to the bare bark and to the bare branches. Even in the winter time, you have the leaves, you have the green upon it. That reminds me of what salvation is. Salvation is everlasting. Salvation does not die or decay. Salvation does not rot away. Salvation does not, as it were, change color and then weaken and then fall to the ground. Salvation is everlasting. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. By our lives in general, we get older, don't we? We're born, and from that moment that we're born and we come into this world, we're beginning already to die. Parts of the body within us begin to die, and as we get older, there's different parts of our body will shut down, they'll change, the hair color will change, the abilities will change, the strength will change. But salvation never changes. That salvation, regardless of whatever age you're saved at, whether or you're saved as a young person, or even as saved as an older person, that salvation does not change. It never dies. It never weakens within you. It never rots or decays within you. That salvation is everlasting unto everlasting. Now I think as well of the Christmas tree, another lesson that I learned from it. I think of how it's an upwards tree. I know there's some good gardeners in here this morning, some people that know the trees. If any man or woman can tell me on the way out, what do you call a tree that goes upwards in terms of its branches? I even Googled it, I couldn't find the answer. Because you think of the difference that there is in the Christmas tree, in the fir tree or the pine tree, compared to the other trees. And you look and you study those branches and you see whenever they come out, then they start to go upwards. And you even go to the very tips of them and they're all bending upwards. They're all going upwards. So many of the trees, whenever they go out and they get the branches and then they get the foliage on them, then they'll start to bow down with the weight. They start to bend over and they'll start to go down as if they're almost going to touch the ground. But the fir tree, the pine tree, the branches grow upwards. What way does that mean they're pointing? They're pointing towards the Lord. You see, that's what our lives are supposed to be. Everything in our lives, regardless of what we are doing, it's supposed to bring honor. It's supposed to bring glory to the Lord. I think of that verse that is found in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. It says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." That means whenever you sit down to your meal, even as you're eating and before you eat, you're to give thanks to the Lord. You're to praise the Lord for what you have before you. Even when you're going to the workplace, you're to do everything unto the glory of the Lord. You see, we are created in God's image. We are His image bearers. God has created us. Why? That we might glorify Him. I wonder how many of us glorify the Lord. I wonder how many of us bring glory to the Lord in our conversation. Wonder, do the words that come out of our mouths, do they bring honor and glory unto the Lord? Do your actions of the last week, have your actions brought glory unto the Lord? The places that you've been, the actions that you've been involved in, the words that you've said, the thoughts that have been in your mind, have you brought glory unto the Lord? See, so many, as I say, they're caught up with self. They're caught up in the things of self, and even they prioritize themselves, or they prioritize even families, and they prioritize all of those things before God. There's nothing is to take the place of God in our lives. Yes, families are important. Yes, providing and caring and meeting the needs of families are important. Absolutely, but they're not to replace God. They're not to come before God. So even as we go to the workplace and even as we go to the school place, boys and girls, even those conversations that you have in the school place and the work that you have to do, and of course we don't do much work at this time of the year, we're coming to Christmas. But all of those things, you're to bring glory to God. Wonder, have you this year? Not only does it remind us that whenever we're looking upwards, we're to bring glory to God, but it also reminds us, even through those branches, as they're pointing upwards, you think of them, how they all turn, and they're all looking, as it were, upwards. Not only does it remind us of what we're to do, but it reminds us of the hope that we have. It tells us there in Luke 21, verse 28, the Lord speaking to his disciples, he says, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." That particular portion is speaking about the second coming of Christ. It's speaking about the changes that there will be in the world before the Lord returns. And you think of what is going on in the world, and you think of the changes that there has been even over these last number of years in this world, and the great changes, the great hardships, the great struggles that have come in. And there are people right across our land and further afield, and they're filled with worry, and they're filled with concern, and they're dread, and they turn on the news and they hear this and that, and they just are so saddened and distressed by what is going on. That can happen to us all. We could all become discouraged, we could all become worried, we could all become deflated, and yet whenever we're found in Christ, we're told what? Lift up your heads. Stop looking down. And stop looking around, but rather just simply look up. Have your confidence in Christ. Lift up your heads. Don't be letting them droop. Don't be letting them drop. Lift up your heads. Look on to the Lord. Why? Your redemption draweth nigh. See, that's the joy that Christians have today. That's the joy that we who are in Christ have today. Each and every one that is saved can rejoice that regardless of what is happening in the world and how bad it gets in the world, Christ is in control. My confidence is in Him. I don't concern myself and bring myself to the point of distress and locking my doors and not going out and all of those things. I don't do that in the world. Why? because my God's in control of all things. That doesn't mean I run about like an idiot and act and just throw everything caution to the wind and all of that. No. But I'm not filled with dread. I'm not filled with fear. I'm not filled with those concerns that fill the world. I'm filled with that hope that I have in Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, do you have hope in Christ? Can you say today, my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus, His blood, and His righteousness? That's the confidence that each and every child of God has. That's the confidence that you can have today if you're found in Christ. You know, I think of the Christmas tree again, and of course, one of the things that whenever the Christmas tree is up and all of the decorations are on it, and then as it comes even into the month of Christmas, we start to see something appear below the tree, don't we? Those little presents, or sometimes even the bigger presents, they start to gather around the tree. It's an exciting time, especially if your name's in the Christmas presents. It's not so exciting if you don't have a name on any of them. But that time when you're looking at the presents, even as you're coming up towards Christmas, and you're so excited, there's so many gifts. You can't wait the Christmas day to get all of the gifts open. Sometimes even children, maybe the rule is, well, you can open one present on Christmas Eve. That gives you that little taste, tomorrow's going to be a good day. Or if you open the wrong one, well, you're going to bed very sad. But I remember whenever I was young, the tradition was that all of the presents were put around different seats. You had your own seat in the house. And then it came to Christmas morning, you weren't allowed to open the presents until all of the family was up. And I remember as well, my mum and dad, we always had prayer time. We always had the time of the reading of the Bible and prayers. Mum and Dad made the rule as well that you didn't open the presents until we had the prayer time. I have to be honest, my prayers were very short on Christmas morning. My mum's weren't so short. And then we came to the present time. And another tradition was, well, the presents were opened in age. So the youngest then went to the eldest. I'm third eldest and I'm also third youngest. And I had to wait for my twin sisters to open all of their presents. And you're like, yeah, that's lovely, hurry up. Oh, lovely, yes. And of course, there's two of them, so their presents were always the same. I'm just sitting there waiting, come on, I want to get to my presents. And I was so excited then when I ripped open my presents, whether they were from aunties, uncles, or grandparents, or whatever the case may be, and I opened all of my presents. I was so excited, yes, new guns, new footballs, whatever the case may be. You played with them for a while. I don't have any of those presents now, by the way. All of those from a child. You loved them as a child. But then they wore off, didn't they? Kids get bored of the presents quite quickly. The more they get, sometimes it's a case of they look at it and then they'll toss it to the side and they might not look at it for months. And they put together the whole list. I really want this, and I really want this, and I really want this. And then you get them, and then they're just, yeah. Yet it tells us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He provides the greatest gift you could ever have. He provides you with the greatest gift in terms of value. There's no gift as more valuable or more precious than salvation. There's no gift was paid at a higher cost than salvation. For Jesus paid and bought that gift of salvation. He bought it with His blood. He gave His life upon the cross that you might be saved, that salvation, that gift of eternal life might be yours. He gave it all. And it's a gift that never loses its value. Doesn't matter how many years into salvation in terms of how many years you're saved, or even after you die and you're with the Lord in heaven forever. The value of eternal life is still the same. It never loses its shine either. Now you think, ladies, of those beautiful bits of jewellery sometimes that you long for and then you get for Christmas. Maybe it's a beautiful necklace or a bracelet or a beautiful ring and you just hold it up and it's just shining under the light. Over time it'll lose its shine, won't it? Over time it loses its value. But salvation doesn't. It is the greatest gift you could ever have. And yet, it's the least sought after gift. Now, I always find it funny coming up to Christmas, at some stage in the radio, they'll say, oh, the toy of this year or the gift of this year, it's this. I remember when I was young, it was wee Tamagotchis. I don't know if does any of you remember the wee Tamagotchis. And then after that, well, it was the Pokemon. You had to get the Pikachu. And all of these different toys, they were the toy for that year. They were the go-to thing. And girls, sometimes it was that new Barbie or that new doll that came out with all of the added extras. This doll can do this. It can talk. It can eat. And all of these different things. That had to be the thing that the girls had to get that year. And yet, they break. They lose their value. And yet parents and grandparents are running around shops from one town to the other. Do you have it in stock? Really need it? No, we've sold it. Oh, move on. I'll drive the whole way to Belfast. I'll go the whole way to Ballymena or to Londerry, whatever the case may be. I will get that toy. Some people at times even line up before the shop opens just to make sure they get it. And yet we offer today the gift of God that God offers. And he says, I have it today for you. Would you take it? See, that's all you have to do, don't you? Someone hands you a gift over this next week. You don't turn around and go, how much do I owe you? You take the gift. You say thank you. And yet the gift of God is eternal life, life everlasting. And yet no one comes. Or few come. Now we looked at it recently. One of the messages, we did a series in hell and then we did a series in heaven. The pathway to heaven, it says, that gate into heaven, straight. And that way to heaven is narrow. And few there be that come in through that gate. And yet to hell it tells us that broad is the way. And thousands are going. And yet Jesus Christ stands and says, I have the gift of eternal life. I can forgive your sins. I can wash them. All you have to do is come and take it. Turn away from your sin. Come and accept Christ as your Savior. I wonder this morning, will you do it? Maybe you've been putting it off and putting it off. Maybe you've heard the gospel many times. Maybe you've never heard the gospel before. And this morning you're hearing this message. Will you come today and take that gift? The gift that only God can give. Through Jesus Christ. And so boys and girls and mums and dads and everyone here. Maybe you'll go home today and throughout the day your lights will go on. Maybe even as you go home, you'll see lights on. As you look at Christmas trees, you think away from those things that are there. You think of the tree upon which Jesus Christ hung, and bled and died. And then even as you look at those gifts around the bottom of the tree, and even as you look at the gifts and you receive gifts over these next number of days, you think of the gift of God. It's eternal life. I wonder, will you take that gift today? Will you come and put your faith and trust in him? If I can be of any help to anyone, whether young or old, please do speak to us. We'd love nothing better than to open up the scriptures and to point you to my Lord and Saviour, who can be your Lord and Saviour too. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee and praise thee, Lord, for the great gift of salvation. We do acknowledge that it was paid and bought at the very highest of cost. For Jesus Christ himself took our sin in his own body upon that tree. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless even now as our time together comes to an end. Lord, that thou wilt continue to speak on to hearts. There be one before us still out of Christ. That this will be the day when they come and receive of that gift of salvation. This will be the day when they come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, bless us and be with us. Separate us with thy blessing upon us. Bring us again to thy house this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen.